you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Just before I get into it, I just wanted to just reiterate the announcement about March Fast and the importance of that. And I know as I have dedicated time aside and things aside for God in the past few years when we've been doing Feb Fast, things change in your life. God speaks when you put time aside to actually listen to Him. And I would really encourage everyone, again, we don't want to force this upon you, but let me strongly encourage you to think seriously about what God is asking you to fast about. Because I know for me, whenever I do it, the clarity that I get in my mind of God speaking and Him telling me things about what is coming or giving me revelation in the now is just out of control. It's great. So do it, yeah? Tonight, what I'm going to share about, obviously, is regarding our series, Jesus Is, but I want to sort of set it up a little bit and allow us as a church to really be able to lean into, for the rest of this year, just exactly why we should be thinking and concentrating on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, man, what a really cool idea it would be, and some of you guys might want to take this on board or not. Maybe you want to get a journal or something for yourself, write Jesus Is at the top, and that is your Jesus Is journal for this series that we're going to continue to do. And what's great about that is you don't just need to rely on us here presenting you with who Jesus is, but you can actually dig that out yourself. And having a journal there by your side, by your bed, if you want to take it with you to work or whatever it is, just to scribble in as Jesus gives you different revelation about that is just a really great way of just engaging in a whole nother level of exactly what's going on here. Is that good? Cool. Excellent. Let's do what we should do in church. Let's pray for tonight. Father, we just take this moment right now and decide to open up our hearts to what you have to say. Lord, we just don't want to come to church and walk out of here the same as the way we walked in, Lord God, but we want your word and your truth to change us, Lord God, from the inside out. So, Father, we just make that choice, that decision for you to have your way here tonight. In Jesus' name we said, amen. Awesome. So the beginning of this series, Jesus Is, Graham has spoken a couple of messages already, and if you haven't heard them, there is a podcast. It does exist. Last week we spoke about Jesus Is what? Yeah, I know you know. Just testing everyone else. Jesus Is the answer, yes? And this morning was Jesus Is truth and the freedom we have in knowing the truth. And I think that it's not just coincidence, and it's not just lucky that we've had these two as our starting points, and it's not just Graham's amazing wisdom in choosing these things. It's the Holy Spirit ordained, Holy Spirit speaking to us as a church as to why we have started with the answer and with truth. And it solidifies our knowledge, I think, of why it's important that we continue this journey in finding out who Jesus is and what He's done for us. You could be here and you could have been a believer for 1 week, or you could have been a believer for your whole life. And at some point along that journey, you would have had to answer that question for yourself in a way. Who actually is Jesus? Because how can you actually decide to believe in and dedicate your life to something that you really have no knowledge about? So there has got to be a little bit for some of us, and we are going to be somewhere on that continuum. But again, my encouragement for you as we look into this for the year is that there is always more. There is always another truth about this amazing man, Jesus, and our God that you will be able to learn. And again, it just requires us to lean in. Let's look at that first scripture. And if you've got your Bibles, open them up for me. We're going to 1 Corinthians. Or your phones, plenty of good apps, grab it out. I'm going to give you time to get to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 2. And I've got it. So I shouldn't have said put it up first, should I? I should have said everyone get that out first. Anyway, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 2, and this is verse 1 and 2. And this is Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to the church in Corinth. And he says this: "When I first came to see you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who He is, then Jesus and what He did. Jesus crucified." And what drives me from these truths at this moment is that I realize that people are all searching for answers and they're searching for truth. And if we believes in Christ don't feel that, if we can't answer that question, then people will find the answer to that question somewhere. And if it's not here, then it's going to be somewhere in the world. People are looking for answers. People are asking those questions. What is my purpose? What is the meaning of this life that we live? And they will search everywhere to try and find it. But we do. We have the answer. And if we don't tell them about it, then who will? Graham's the starting point, the one thing I hear clear from this platform, it's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to live it out. It's one thing to hear that Jesus is the answer. It's one thing to hear that Jesus is the truth. But it's a whole nother ballgame for us to actually live it out. And I wrote this down here. I thought it was really cool. The answer to who Jesus is for a lot of the world is found in us. It's found in us, is who we are, and the response that we have and the love that we show is how they can see who Jesus is. And we have a responsibility in that, absolutely. You might be able to relate to this. It's my birthday coming up, so yay, happy birthday to me in a couple of weeks. And whenever I'm looking for a present, or I think and the family's asking, oh, what do you want for your birthday? I kind of, you rack your brain and think, oh, I could do this. And this year I've asked for a sliding compound miter saw, which is really cool. Does anyone, who doesn't know what a sliding compound miter saw is? A few people. It's a big saw that you cut wood with. And I'm really excited about it, so that's great. And I don't know about you, but if ever I'm asking for something, I like to do my research. YouTube gets a good run when I'm looking for something that I want. Google, and I go to shops, and I look at all these different things. And I did it, and I chose one, and we went out and bought it, and it's sitting in my shed because I can't open it until I get to my birthday. So I'm excited about that. But it's kind of like what we're doing in church here. When I am in that moment and I'm doing a lot of research into something that I want to purchase or something that I'm doing, I don't know about you, but it constantly like sits at the forefront of my mind. I can be sitting here, sorry, Pastor Graham, I can be sitting here in a church meeting thinking about the saw that I want to get or, you know, different things. It just sits there because you are investing so much time and energy into that research itself. And kind of like this, I want you to just see this series as that for us. We want you to go through this year and come out the other end, not just with a greater understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done for you, but with a greater love for him. And as we each week goes by, each week, Jesus is brought to the forefront of our minds. Every time we do a new one, Jesus is. We want to glorify Jesus through every single message we do in this series. That's what it's all about. Not just so we can find out more about Jesus. Is that good?
Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm ready for that. This is a little freebie I want to give you, and then we're going to get on to who Jesus is for tonight. I was speaking with Cass at the start of the year, at the start of 2019, and I'm sure a lot of people would do this, and we kind of consider what 2019 holds for us, and whether it's New Year's resolutions or whatever it is. And we don't really do resolutions per se, but I think that the New Year is almost just a good time to take stock. Chris spoke a message a couple of years ago about having a stock take of your life. It was amazing. And you just take a stock of just where things are and how we're spending our time and then ask God for what he's got for the future. It's just a great opportunity at that time. And we did that, and I had a conversation with a few people about what it's like what 2019 has for us. And my answer was always, oh, I'm pretty optimistic about it. Like I'm pretty excited and ready for what God is going to do in the future, like generally speaking. And I found myself say to someone, I said, I really feel like 2019 is going to be the best year I've ever had. And I know that like that sounds so cliche to say that, oh, this is going to be the best year I've ever had. But it really came from my heart, and I was really, really convicted that was true, that 2019 is going to be the best year for me personally that I've ever had. And you know, I had revelation of this as I said that and as I considered it afterwards, that when we say something like that, that this year is going to be the best I've ever had. We need to be able to decide and we need to have a correct definition of what best actually is. Because so often we can think of the best things in life and we think of, you know, that time or when we finished school, when we finished year 12, yeah, that was the best year of my life. Or for me, yeah, when we got married, that was the best year. When we had our first child or whatever it is, that was the best year of our lives. But I think if we determine the best year of our life purely based on our circumstances and what happens, then we are going to be disappointed potentially in the future. Because the best year of our life is not determined by our circumstances, but it's determined by how close we are able to get to God in that time. It's how we can understand more revelation. We can have more revelation of how much He loves us and then show Him that love. I think that is the way that every year we can say, man, I'm ready for this year to be the best year of my life because I'm going to grow closer to God like I've never grown before. Yeah? How's that? Yeah? Cool? Man, I love it. I love it. So I'm ready. I'm ready for this year. And I know it's halfway through February, but it's not too late. It's not too late to say, come on, God, I'm giving it the best. I'm going to give this the best crack this year. And I'm going to grow closer to you. And you draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Absolutely. We have control over that. We do. Great. So who is Jesus to you? That's the question I want to ask you tonight. Who is Jesus to you? How would you fill in that blank? And I'm just going to ask you to be interactive tonight. So you need to actually talk to the person next to you and answer that question. Jesus is blank. Go for it. Like, talk. Like, go on. Yeah, good. Got some answers. And I really think that everyone can answer that question, whether you know something about Jesus, the truth about Jesus or not, because everyone has their own truth, their own version of the truth of actually who Jesus is. And so we can all answer that in some way. And I'm sure if we went around the room, we would get 30 or 40 or 50 different answers. And that's not because we all read a different version of the Bible, is it? The Bible talks about Jesus and talks about the truth of who Jesus is. But sometimes our version is based on the things that we've been through in life. We see Jesus as someone different or we have a different name for Him. And you know, for example, if you were to speak to someone who had a major illness and was delivered or set free from that, what would they say? They would say, Jesus is my healer. He would say, Jesus is my healer. That's the first thing that come to my mind because that's what I've seen Him do in my life. Or if you spoke to someone, I remember someone who got baptized, an older guy a few years ago, and part of his testimony was that he called Jesus his friend and even like his best friend. He'd had trouble with relationships in the past. And when it came to this point, Jesus to him, Jesus is my best friend. And so it really depends on part of our circumstances, but always through the filter of the truth of the Word of God as to who Jesus is for us. And truthfully, you could look through the Bible and come up with a gazillion, maybe not quite, but a lot of names for Jesus. But nicknames, I think nicknames are a real fun thing. And in Australian culture, we are, I think, pretty, I was going to say good, but we're probably not good at nicknames. We're pretty efficient at them because we make a lot of, yeah, we're consistent. We make a lot of nicknames. They're just bad ones. You just end up adding like a vowel to the end of someone's name and then you've got like Maddie or Andy or Chris-O or Dave-O or what? Who else is there? John-O is a good one. Like Graham, like Gramo. Could we call you Gramo? Maybe that doesn't work, but that's what we do. I had a couple of nicknames growing up, but one that quite stuck was a result of us, me and some family friends, we sort of went to a place where you could have jewelry personally made for you. It was like a bracelet or it was a necklace or something. And they had those little square silver cubes that had letters on them, and so you could choose the different letters and make your name or something and hang it on you, blah, blah, blah. And so we went there, and some of my friends were getting these names, and they were getting their names shortened, and it was really cool or whatever, but I didn't really have a nickname. I was never Andy back in the day. I was just Andrew. I was always Andrew. And so the guy behind the counter said, and what's your name, pal? And I said, it's Andrew. And he goes, you could be Drew. And everyone around me just cracked up laughing. Drew? How there? Like, we'd never thought that Drew could ever come from Andrew. What was wrong with us? It was just so foreign and so funny. But there are still a few people that are very close to me that call me Drew. And that's where that name came from. And the thing with the nickname that I think is really cool, that it like endears you to that person. There's that bond that is formed through a nickname, and only a few of those people that I've had as like lifelong friends will still call me Drew. And it's great. I keep doing it if you're in here. Keep doing it. So there's power in a nickname. Judah, when he's seven now, obviously, but when we first had him as a baby, he got the nickname Sputer. Sputer. For obvious reasons, because he was a baby and he just like, bleh. Yeah, like, I don't know if you've ever watched a baby vomit, but they just sit there and look at it and then they just go, bleh, bleh. And it just like, just comes out. This is crazy. You can't stop it. You're like stuffing rags in there. Like, oh, stuff. Not really. You don't do that to babies, but it just kept coming out. And so we lovingly nicknamed him Sputer. Hey, Sputer, how you going? He's grown out of that, thankfully. But that's who he was. And it was interesting. So with that nickname, Judah did something. And then we gave him the nickname Sputer. But this name that we're going to look for Jesus tonight, it was the other way around. This was a name that was given to Jesus, and then he was born and actually fulfilled the meaning of that name. So turn with me. We're going to turn to Matthew. We turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 23. And this is where the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he's now quoting the prophet Isaiah back in the Old Testament. And firstly, of course, the name Jesus was given, meaning Savior, as instructed by the angel that visited Mary, because he would save the people from their sins. And Matthew 1:23 says this, I've got it on the screen if you need it. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. So the title for tonight, this is what we're talking about. Jesus is Emmanuel. God with us. And just by the way, you might have it in your Bible, it might say Emmanuel, like I, Emmanuel, and this says Emmanuel. Just so you know, one is a translation from the Greek and one is a translation from the Hebrew. So they are the same thing. Don't be confused. They're the same thing. They still mean God with us. In a couple of months, we're going to celebrate Easter, which is crazy how quickly things go. The death and resurrection of Lord Jesus. And rightly so. And I'm gonna really sum up part of what Andrew said this morning in his communion message. Rightly so. Easter and the death and resurrection of Christ is so high on our list, and we give thanks so much for that, for this celebration of what God did in us and the salvation that we can experience. And like he said this morning, by no means do we want to belittle that part of the story because it is so amazing. But if we stop at the cross and we don't move forward, we're missing out on so much more of what Jesus had and what he came to taught us to teach us about. He lived on earth, he experienced what we experience in these mortal bodies, and he taught and ministered to so many people that impact us still to this day. Jesus, God came to earth as a man and is with us. God is with us and he's with you. It's incredible. Perhaps one of the greatest gifts I've received, and I know some people would echo me in this, the greatest gifts I feel I've received from God apart from salvation is the peace of knowing that Jesus is with me through everything, that I don't need to sweat about the challenges that are facing me because I know that he is with me through it all. It's such an amazing privilege to be a parent, and I don't take that for granted one bit. And I know that whenever I'm with my kids, my older kids especially, Judah and Olive, because Roman can't speak and whatever, that they will come with me somewhere. And if I ever put them in a position where where maybe I'm trailing behind them, they're walking ahead, and they are walking into a room perhaps they've never been in before, or a situation they've never been in, or they're going to meet someone that they've never met before, that they're always a bit tentative about that, because they don't know what's going to happen there. And there's been a number of times where I'll say, go on, off you go. And they will walk ahead, but they'll come back and they'll grab my hand and they'll say, with you, Daddy, with you. They want to walk in with me. And see, it's not the person that they're speaking to that's the issue. It's not the room they're going into that's the problem. It's not even about their own character, but it's about who's with them that gives them the confidence to walk into that situation. And if you're going to take nothing else out of tonight, I want you to remember this and write it down. It's not about what you're walking into or what you bring to the situation. It's about who's with you that matters. Yeah? Can I hear an amen from anybody? Amen. Come on. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to say it again. It's not about what you're walking into or what you bring to the situation. It's about who's with you that actually matters. Joshua 1:9, let's have a look at this. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? The Israelites were moving into like just this battle phase where they were up against it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is, say it, with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Not just some of the places you go, wherever you go. And you might say, yeah, that's great, and I love that thought, and we can talk about it, and we can go, yes, in church, and that's awesome. But it's so hard to actually live it out. And I think it's important that we don't misunderstand what it actually means that God is with us. What it doesn't mean is that every meeting we go into will have a positive outcome that we think it should have. And what it doesn't mean is that every time we walk into an uncomfortable situation, all of a sudden our nerves are going to dissipate and everything's going to be great and we're going to have super duper confidence. What it does mean is that we can fully trust that God is, yes, he's with us, but he's also working in us and working through us, and that he will always work these things together for us as we love him and follow his calling for our lives. Romans 8:28 says this. And we know that for those who, what? Love God, and all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. You have been called. You have a purpose with God. And what's the first step in that purpose? To love God. To love God. It's the first step and it's also the last step, and it's like every step in between. To love God. That is our purpose in life. Love God. And everything else will come after that. I've just got three quick truths to close out the night here that I hope you write down. And Tim's going to come up and he's going to play that keyboard for us. Thanks, Timmy. And the first one that I want you to remember about the fact that Jesus is Emmanuel is this. Number one, that you are never alone. You are never, never, ever, ever, ever alone. Matthew 28, verse 20 says this. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Always to the end of the age. I don't know if you can't really tell on that screen, but that's actually red. It's very dark red, but it's actually red. And the reason I wrote it in red is because out of the Bible, when things are written in red, it's because Jesus is saying them. And Jesus says this, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Always, always. Hebrews 13:5, we're going to keep moving through these scriptures. It's truth. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we often look at this scripture in particular and we can see, you know, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. But the point of this scripture is actually that last line. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You don't have to worry about this other stuff. You can be content because I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter. It's not about the money. It's not about that stuff. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I hope that someone might preach this message in our series, that Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough, because he is. And not only do we have to never be alone, but the truth is that we actually can't do this on our own. We cannot. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus. I need Jesus in every single part of my life because I can't do it without him. Life is just too hard without Jesus. And you might be in a spot right now where life just looks too hard. The first step to getting out of that is to acknowledge to God that that's actually the case. That God, this is so hard. God, I need you. I cannot continue to do this without you. And, you know, that truly is an actual part of that continual repentance of turning away from the things that we have tried to do ourselves and turning and looking square at Jesus and saying, Jesus, I give you this. Take my life because I can't do it by myself. We are not designed. We have not been designed to do life on our own, only with him. So number one, you're never alone. Number two is this. We need to remember this, that God is with us and he is strong. I wrote in brackets here, Satan is a liar. God is with us, he is strong, and Satan is a liar. Isaiah 41:10, thanks Dave. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I was writing this part, I was writing this message and I really felt the Holy Spirit prompt me that this point was for someone here tonight, a few people maybe, that through fear and condemnation from the enemy with regard to something that you have done in your past, you have walked away and feel far from God. Well, I want to tell you the truth tonight, that no matter how you feel about your distance from God, he never left. He is and will always be with you, and he is faithful to complete that good work that he has started in you. And tonight you have the opportunity to turn around, to turn back, and to turn toward Jesus. God is with you, and he sees it all. He sees it all, and he loves you. He wants to help you have victory over areas of those lives. Sometimes I can think that we think that it's as if God saw that aspect, if God saw that area of my life, then he would want to run away because that's not true. God sees it. God sees it anyway. And he just wants you to open it up to him so that he can help you with that area of your life. That's the love of our God. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Again, it's not about the situation we find ourselves in. It's not about what we bring to the table, but it's about who's with us that matters. If God is for us, then who can be against us? There are many, many great things that we get to know and experience by the fact that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. But God's ultimate plan behind it all really is so that he could show you the love that he has for you through the sending of his son, God with us, Emmanuel, the most amazing act of love that the world will ever see. Yeah? So point number three to finish off, it was all for love. It was all for love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus didn't come just to save you from something. He came to save you to something. He came to save you to something, a greater life with him for the rest of eternity, from now for the rest of eternity. And let's just close our eyes in this moment tonight. And I'm just going to give the opportunity for everyone here that's sitting here to make a decision and even to respond to the love that has been shown to us, to each one of us. And perhaps you've come to church tonight and you've never made a decision to make Jesus, God with us, to make Jesus the Lord over your life. And really that means acknowledging what we talked about before, that God, I can't do this without you. That we have been designed not to do this life alone, but to do it with Jesus. And let me tell you, that decision to make Jesus over the Lord over your life, as I said, it doesn't make everything magically better. But man, it gives you purpose in life. If you're here and you want to make that decision tonight, you can just pop your hand up. I'm going to see it. We're going to pray a simple prayer. And then I would love to catch up with you afterwards. But if that's you and you want to make Jesus Lord over your life tonight, why don't you just pop your hand up in the air and we'll pray. Is that you tonight? Is that you tonight? Praise you, God. Praise you, God. If that is you here tonight, let's not let another moment go on without making that decision. I mean, I don't want to force you into it, of course, but I do want to tell you that it is the most amazing decision that you can make. Eternity without God. If that's you tonight and you want to just have a conversation about it, I'd love to talk to you more about it after the service. But church, let's pray as we go tonight that the truth of God being with us, the truth of Jesus being Emmanuel, wouldn't just be an idea, but it would be something that impacts our life, that everywhere we go, every situation we find ourselves in, we know that God is with us. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for sending him out of heaven, Lord God, to be here as a man, to experience what we experience here, to be God with us. Lord, we thank you so much that we don't have to do life alone. We thank you that no matter how many times we make mistakes that we know, we still do not have to do life alone. We thank you for your amazing grace. And Lord, my prayer for us tonight as we go is that the nature of you, Jesus, would be outworked in our lives, that other people would see the hope and the trust and the peace we have in you, and that they would ask questions about that. We want to see more people come to know you, Jesus, because we love you and we're passionate about you. So Father, we just do give you thanks so much for who you are, for your amazing love for us. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen.